Welcome, Caleb, joining me again this morning.
Oh, okay. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
We had a good time last Sunday talking about that intentional, being intentionally missional.
We really did.
Yeah, and we're going to pick up with that today and continue moving beyond just the intentional mission.
Right.
We're actually going to talk about the intentional message today.
Right.
But come on, a little preview into next week.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some intentional might.
Intentional might.
Yeah, because when Jesus sent the disciples out, he said, heal the sick, you know, cast out demons, raise the dead, do the stuff, right?
Right.
It wasn't on them.
It
was the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Right.
He's anointed me to do all of these things. And so we're going to expect next Sunday, we're just going to have a miracle service here, just a healing service. We did this several months ago, saw a number of people being healed and delivered and set free and all kinds of good things happening.
Yeah.
And we don't want to just talk about it. Paul's talked about it. He said, I didn't just come to you with words. But then he said, but
demonstration.
That's right. Demonstration
of
the power of the Spirit. So
exactly.
we're just believing for that. We're just stepping out on faith.
Yeah.
So let's review just a little bit about what we talked about last week as we were looking in both Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10.
Right.
And in both of those stories, we find Jesus sending out the 12 and then the 70. And he's moved with compassion, Jesus says. He looks out, he sees people. Their lives are a mess. They're broken. They're hurting, they're in pain, and Jesus is like, we can't just leave them like this.
Right.
We need to do something about it. And so he sends forth the disciples to go out and to really be intentional about ministering and reaching the lost. We saw in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, he says, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And therein becomes our motive for being intentional in our mission. Freely, we've talked about that with me.
Yeah, I mean, freely give, freely receive. We talked about it last week, how a lot of times we have applied that scripture to tithes and offering or giving. And Jesus, in the context here, he's not talking about giving. There's other scriptures that says about giving, like 2 Corinthians 9, that talks about, you know, what you sow, you'll reap. But specifically, he's talking about what has already been given to us for us to then go out and giving it to others freely, right? That's the culture of how it was given to us, meaning you were freely healed, therefore go out freely healing.
Yeah.
Right, you don't have to start an organization around, you don't have to start an LLC, you don't have to do any, you do it freely, right?
Yeah.
How about freely cast out devils? Because your torment was freely, there it is, somebody said it, okay? You're with me. So our deliverance, our freedom in our lives were freely given to us by the Lord. Therefore, this is that wonderful command by the same authority that Jesus has given us, go out freely doing these things. Yeah?
Amen.
Amen.
So we want to look at a second thing this morning. Not only is there an intentional mission, but this morning we want to really focus on the intentional
message.
And let me just go back. I just read it a while ago, but Matthew 10, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
And so he tells them some stuff that they're supposed to do, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. But when it comes to what the message is, he's very specific. Preach the kingdom of heaven. Preach the kingdom of heaven. One of the things that you see Jesus talking about through the scripture continually is the kingdom.
Yeah.
We talk about church a lot. Jesus mentions it a couple of times. But he talked about the kingdom a lot, advancing the kingdom, his kingdom. His kingdom is where he's ruling, where he's reigning, where his will is being done. And so he tells us that we need to go out and preach this kingdom message. It's kind of interesting what he does not tell them to do. He says, don't go out just preaching your pet, you know, doctrines or, you know, your favorite Bible verse or whatever. And there's a lot of things that we could preach and teach about, but he really focuses, I want you to preach on the kingdom. One of the things that you and I were talking about is he doesn't even say preach the gospel. He doesn't even say the gospel of salvation. It's this kingdom.
It's gospel of the kingdom.
It's the gospel of the kingdom that he wants us to preach.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we're not supposed to talk about the gospel of salvation, folks. But what it means is that the kingdom is more encompassing. The gospel of salvation is a limited part of the full message of the kingdom.
Right.
The full message of the kingdom is that God wants to save us, yes, and that's where it begins. That's where our greatest need is,
right,
is for our soul to be made right with God. But that God doesn't just stop there. I want to tell you, if all you got when you were saved is you just got born again and you didn't get anything else, you haven't gotten everything that God has for you.
Right.
Because God's got a lot more than that. That raising the dead, healing, you know, the dead stuff in our life, he wants it raised. That's kingdom. The sick places in our life, he wants them healed. That's kingdom. The places where we're in torment and bound up and we need to be delivered and set free. He wants to do that for us. That's kingdom. And so what we've got is really good news.
And
it's not just get saved. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
But I'm going to roll here.
It's not
just get saved, hope that we make it to heaven when we die, but struggle while we're on earth. I want you to get this, folks. The kingdom message is that you get saved, and then all kinds of incredible stuff starts happening in your life through the power of God at work. And there is, go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap. I know you want to. Because there is a world of people out there that are broken and hurting.
They need it.
And they need the message of the gospel of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
You're back.
Here you go.
You went into preach mode.
So I'm sorry.
I was fine.
I'm sorry.
I was fine right here listening to it. No, one of the things that I really wanted to emphasize, and we talked about this and we kept going around this, is that we are the display of what will happen when Jesus comes back on the earth.
Right.
Right? So the healing of the sick is not just going to happen now. It's going to happen and is going to be finalized when he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
The casting out of devils, it is happening now, but it's going to be finalized. Every devil will be cast out when God's kingdom comes to earth. So it's not, this gospel that we preach is not about one day going to heaven. It's about one day heaven and earth is going to become one and all things will be restored. All things will be renewed and it will be under the leadership of God forever.
Amen.
Forever.
Yeah.
And so that's our gospel.
Good
and
news.
We demonstrate that, right, by living healed and freed lives. We demonstrate that by loving one another, like we talked about, and freely giving forgiveness and being merciful. And you mentioned Sermon on the Mount as the constitution of the upcoming kingdom, right? That's how the kingdom is going to live. Everyone's going to be free from lust and anger, and there's not going to be any oath breaking. There's not going to be any divorce. There's not going to be any anxiety when the kingdom of God comes. And I just love that Jesus made that the gospel. He made that the gospel, the good news about God. Isn't that powerful?
In a world of bad news, we've got good news. We've got a great message. And here's the thing. We've got to rethink this, is that it's not just, I'm so glad I got it.
Yeah.
Because if we're not careful, our life would look like it's a, I'm just glad that I got it kind of message. We need to get beyond the, I'm just so glad that I got it, but I'm glad that I got it so that I can share it.
Amen.
I'm glad that I got it so I can give it. I'm glad that I got it so I can bless others with the same thing that God blessed me with.
Right.
And Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, we were looking at this, 2 Corinthians, he begins to really go into this message that we've received, and then we become bearers of that message.
Bearers of that message. So let's read that really quick, and let's go through that a little bit. So it says, starting at verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we now see him, right? This means that everyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Say, gift from God.
Gift from God.
And then he says, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Now he's going to expound on this a little bit more. And he says, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him.
We have a task.
We have a task. So that's the mission. The mission that we talked about, this intentional mission that we talked about last week, is that God has called us to reconcile people to himself. Here, let's keep going just a little bit and then we'll go back there. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. There's that, what do you call it, $10 word?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Oh, wow. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen and amen. Yeah? Let's say amen to that. Praise God for it.
So Paul is saying we have been, first of all, that God's done all the work.
He's done all the work.
For us to be
reconciled
to him.
He's made a way. Right, right.
Yeah, he did it all through Christ. Mm-hmm. So we can't boast on that.
Nope.
We can't give ourselves any pats on the back.
Right.
That's something that he has done for us. But then he turns it around and says, again, but it's not just about us getting it. It's about us passing it on to others. That being ministers of
reconciliation.
Yeah, there's that $10
word. There's that
word
again.
What does that word reconciliation really mean?
Yeah.
And I love it.
The versions
back up earlier in verse 20, where we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God.
Yeah.
That's really what reconciliation is. Come back to God.
Yeah.
That we are distanced from him. Mm-hmm. We're enemies. We're away from God.
Haters
away from his
of purpose. God.
Yes, yeah. Haters even. Uh-huh. But we get to share this message, come back to God. Because God wants us to come back to him.
And he's made a way.
And he's made a way.
Yeah.
Through Christ.
Through Christ. And I think a huge part that I like to just emphasize on is that God is making a direct appeal to the world, to those that are haters of God, to those that are enemies of God. He's making a direct appeal. He's the one in us and through us pleading for us to make peace. Like, God is a peacemaker.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Generation to generation, he is making peace with humanity. As much as we would want to come in to that relationship with him, he has made that way for us to make peace. That's another way that we read about reconciliation. We make peace with God.
Yeah, because we were looking at what is
different versions.
What's another way of explaining reconciliation? Yeah. And we looked at a number of versions of the Bible. I think we've got some of those up on the screen. If I'll put those up there. Some of the different renderings are get right with God.
Right.
Become a friend of God.
Make peace with God.
Come back to God.
My favorite.
And your favorite.
Let God change you from enemies to friends. I love that.
Yeah.
How many of us were enemies of God and he made us friends?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
All of us. If we're born again,
we've
all been enemies of God.
Exactly.
Whether we're ready to admit it or not, we've all been lost and enemies of God. But then through his work, we can become his friends.
Amen.
So we need to understand that. Now, not because, we're all called to be theologians and we got to have all these deep Bible answers to everything that the scriptures talks about. And if we're not careful, we can actually maybe make it too complicated.
Yes.
And make people feel a little intimidated when it comes to sharing this message.
Right.
And feel like, well, how can I don't even know how to spell reconciliation, I'm not even sure I can pronounce it right. How am I supposed to, because God's not asking us to walk up to people, listen, you got to get this. We're not saying you walk up to people and say, hey, don't you want to get reconciled to God? Because if that's your approach.
It's not going to work.
Somebody's probably going to go, hey, woohoo, know.
He's
a little nutso, a little crazy,
get
out of here. That's not the approach. We're not asking people to be we want to understand it, but the approach that we make when we talk to people about Jesus, when we go out healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, and the demonstration of the power of God's working in our lives and through us, but the simple message. How can we break it down into a simple message that people begin to hear and to receive, and it's And here's what I know.
Yeah.
We're not all theologians.
Not all theologians.
We're not all evangelists,
right,
even.
Pastors.
But we are all
witnesses.
What does that mean?
So I love the example of standing on trial, you know. There's the prosecutor, there's the defender, there's the judge, there's the jury. And really, one of the most powerful things that would happen in a trial is that they have eyewitness. They have the eyewitness. Come on, everyone that loves Law and Order, don't look at me that way. You know you've watched it. They're fighting to go get that witness, right? That's just going to crack open the case. And this is what Jesus says. I don't actually need you to be my lawyer. I don't actually need you to be my defender, right? And he says, all I need you to do is be the witness on the stand, right? I said, Jesus is on trial in everybody's heart. The entire world is going, what must I do with Jesus? You know, what must I think about this man? And you're the witness. You're the eyewitness. You're the experience that they need to hear that will crack open the case for them. And so that's why Jesus says, go into all the world and be my witnesses, right? So how can we do this? How can we break this down? I like the woman at the well type of idea. She had this experience with Jesus, and then she goes out to her village and she says, there's this man that told me everything that I ever did. He has to be the Messiah. Come and meet him, right? And that's really what we're called to do. And so I like to say before, when, and since, right? So I tell the story of before I met Jesus, when I met him, and since I've met him. You can do that in less than a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a long thing. We have laborers go out every Monday from here. Go into Hope Valley, what we teach them to do is go out praying, go out healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper. You go out doing the works of the kingdom, okay? So it says, hey, is there anything I need to pray for you about, or would you like prayer about? And they'll go, sure, you know, I have a bum knee. I want to pray for this. My knee is hurting. And so we'll go, okay, absolutely, we'll pray for you. Right before I pray for you, can I tell you my story really quick? Before I was broken and I was full of shame, full of guilt. Someone introduced me to this man named Jesus, and they told me about him. They told me that God loved me and he wanted to be my friend. He wanted to be to make peace with me, and he wanted to remove all the shame and the guilt from my life. And I said, you know, I've tried everything. I might as well try him. And so I said yes to Jesus, and since that moment, I've been healed. I've been free from guilt and shame and condemnation. I really believe with all of my heart, I'm at peace. I'm sleeping the best, you know, the best I've ever had. All right, I have the best sleep I've ever had. Here it is. Do you have a story like that? It's so simple where you can be that witness of Jesus in their hearts, crack open the case, and maybe they'll say yes. I do have a story that way, you know? And then you can have
hallelujah.
Further... hallelujah, praise God. Maybe they say, no. Would you like a story like that?
Mm-hmm. That's so simple.
It's so simple.
It's you didn't have to quote any Bible verses to
nope.
do that.
Nope.
You didn't have to know any, you know, take any Bible courses to know that.
Nope.
All you had to do is just have an experience with Jesus.
With Jesus.
A personal experience.
Exactly.
Where my life once was a wreck. It was a mess.
Uh-huh.
Then I met Jesus. I don't know, however that happened in your life.
Right.
Maybe it was you were watching this TV program late at night. Maybe it was you got invited by a friend to a church. Maybe you were raised in church, but you had just never accepted it. And one day, all by yourself in your bedroom, you asked Jesus into your heart. And then, what is it like since then? How much better has life become since then? Of course, some of you now, you may be thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor Tommy, that's great. For the folks who've got a testimony like that.
Right.
But my testimony is actually, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was just a child. I mean, I think that's your
testimony
and mine.
Right.
I mean, at 6 years old, I had not been, you know, on a bad drug problem and in rehab and to jail for the last 6 months. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
I had
right.
not hit rock bottom at 6 years old in my life.
Not
at
six.
But does that mean that I don't have a testimony, right?
Right, exactly. And I think it's important Because sometimes we can give all the evangelism to those that have the powerful testimonies of experience with Jesus, right? And it is a powerful testimony that you met Jesus at 8, that you were convinced that he was your Savior. This is mine. This is my testimony. And that I was discipled growing up, that when I came an adult and I started going through life, guess how many of us know that you don't have to do anything bad to go through bad things?
That's right.
Right? But I was taught, I was discipled to lean on Jesus, to seek Jesus, to ask his help. And in that discipleship, I was able to experience his presence in my life, his power in my life, right? And that's still, if that's your testimony, the reason why God has you telling and speaking to that person is that he wants your testimony to be the witness for that person, right? So whenever you have an opportunity, don't go, well, I don't have, I have to make up a testimony or I don't have a powerful testimony. No, your testimony is what God wants to use to make a direct appeal to that person that they might be reconciled back to him. Amen and amen.
Amen. So, do you have a testimony like that?
You have a story like that.
How many of you got a testimony like that? Raise your hand. Come on, this is testimony time. Just by the raising of your hand. Judy Tucker, where are you at? Do you have a testimony like that? We heard from Judy earlier about the angel tree. Let's see if she's got a testimony.
Before I met Christ, I was broken. I was on a highway to hell. I was an enemy to God, and I couldn't make a right decision if my life depended on it. And then I met a little daycare owner who was taking care of my son, who was 2 years old at the time, and she invited me to this church. And I came with no expectation until I found myself in this altar. Amen. And I gave myself to the Lord that day. He pursued me, and he overcame every defense that I had that morning. I went from being on a highway to hell to a highway to heaven. I went from an enemy of God to a friend of God. And I am eternally grateful because he healed me. He delivered me. He is my everything. Do you have a testimony like that?
All right, don't get nervous. I'm not calling on you next.
I might.
But here's what I do want to do. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes right now. And I wonder if you don't have a testimony like that. You don't have a story about how Jesus has changed your life, has taken all the bad and turned it to good. But you would like to have a story like that. Would you just raise your hand right now, because I'd like to pray for you. In this place, anybody, you don't have a story like that. That's not your testimony yet, but you want that to be your testimony. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? I don't see anybody raising the hand here in the room. Maybe there's somebody that's online. That's who you are. That's what you need right now. We do this every week, and I want you to just see how easy it is. After you've shared your testimony, see, all you have to do is pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life and change me. I want to live for you. I want to be a Jesus follower for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and for saving me today. It's so easy. It's so simple. And if you just prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family of God. Come on, Spirit Life Church. Let's just celebrate those who may have prayed that prayer. Maybe you didn't even raise your hand in this place, but you prayed that prayer. I want to encourage you, if you did that, we'd love to follow up with you. So see us at the close of this service. But we're not through yet, because we want to share with you the vision of what we believe that God wants us to do with this intentional mission and this intentional message. is we want to get really practical. If you heard the message last week, you know that we began to talk about what we're wanting to do, what we believe that the Lord has prompted us to do at Christmas this year at Spirit Life Church. So I just want you to just give me an opportunity to, Caleb and I, to just talk with you again, present this vision to you again. Some of you, you're hearing it for the very first time. So for those of you who heard it last week, give me the benefit of the doubt. Give me the time to share it for those who are just hearing it for the very first time today, okay? So what we want to do this time is we're not going to spend a whole lot of money and a lot of pageantry and big displays and all that kind of stuff. But what we really feel like the Lord has called us to do is get really intentionally missional and to do what we're calling a community Christmas. A community Christmas, where our focus this year is how can we reach our community with the message, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we believe that there's a number of ways that we can do that. Now, earlier we were talking about the children's program is going to be on December the 4th. That's an 11 a.m. service. A Star is Born. The kids are going to do a great job with that. Invite someone to come. It may be that seeing Christmas through the eyes of a child is what will change somebody's life, okay? So let's take advantage of that. Then December the 25th, Christmas Day, is a Sunday. And so what we're going to do this year, we're not going to ask you to gather here, but we're going to do an online streaming service so that wherever you are, with your family, with your friends, wherever you are, in your home or on the road even, you can join in with us that Sunday and we can worship the Lord together on His birthday. But that gives us December the 11th and December the 18th. The 18th is going to be the big service that we want everybody to invite their friends and their family to, and there's just, you know, it's going to, I feel like the Lord is laid on my heart the greatest gift of all. It just really feels like what the Lord's laying on my heart. So y'all be praying with me that the Lord will help me to just really put that message together in a way that we can effectively talk about the Jesus who really is the greatest gift of all, and that we're going to see people come to the Lord that day on that Sunday. So I'm asking, just be praying with us about that. But then that backs us up to the week before, which is December the 11th.
My birthday.
That's right. It is.
Let the hearer understand.
And so, I hope on your birthday, what is it that you want for your birthday?
You know
this year,
what
Caleb?
You want the whole list?
No. Just
the one that this, okay, yeah, that, yeah, that one. So we're gonna do a gather and go service, right? So that's what we're planning to do. And what I want to see is people's lives impacted for Christ, right? We want to share the compassion and the love of Jesus through serving practical needs. So we have been asking for 70 volunteers, 70 missionaries, if you may. Jesus sent out 70. We're asking for 70 here. And we're going to go out. There's several things we're going to do, but the one that I really want to focus on really quick, and Pastor Tommy, you focus on the other one, but is the baskets. We have like 50 turkeys. We're ascertaining families already. People are already signing up for these baskets, these things, where we will have teams go out with these baskets, maybe two or three people at a time, going out, going to their assigned person, assigned family. They will give these baskets, but before you give these baskets with a Merry Christmas, is there anything I can pray for you about? I pray for my family. Absolutely. I believe the Lord's going to do this in your life. Well, before I pray, here's my story. Can I tell you my story? My story is this and Jesus and then since Jesus. I mean, it's just been, and then less than a minute. Do you have a story that like that? No, I don't have a story. Or yes, I have a. Do you want a story like that? Right? We want to make sure that this outreach to these families is an opportunity for them to hear the gospel. It's not just do the works. It's actually do the works with the message, right? And so we'll be doing that, and we'll have that opportunity, and then invite them back to especially those that have given their lives to Jesus, maybe at their doorstep, that we want them to come to the family. We want them to find belonging in the family of God, and that's us, you and I, right here. So that's one of the things that we're going to be doing.
So we're going to invite them to come back.
We're going to invite them to come back on the 18th to meet their new family.
Well, not really.
Is that
come
wonderful?
Back, they haven't been. They're just at their house.
Yeah.
Come to the service on the
18th. Yeah, come.
So that service, 1, 11 a.m., everybody coming together, the whole family, so we can really be missional together.
Right.
a short service, 30 minutes long.
Yep.
And then instead of hearing a sermon, we're going to be a sermon.
We're going to be the sermon.
So we're going to go. But yeah. There's some other things because we realize it's, yeah, go ahead and, yeah, that you like that idea. I hear that. So there's some other things that we think that we can do as well. Now, some people, maybe you're not going to actually go out. But let me talk about some other things you could do. Maybe you're not comfortable with that idea. But somebody suggested we could do some Christmas caroling. So maybe, you know, half a dozen people decided that they were going to go to some of the area rest homes or what have you and just love on people, Christmas caroling. Some said suggested that maybe we would go over to the Heller Park right behind the church here and just take a couple of thermoses of hot chocolate and pour out some hot chocolate and hand out some invitations to the service the next week. So just, again, some easy ways that we can encounter some people, just love on some people right here in our community because it's not just the people that are in 61st and Peoria. It's all around our church that we want to reach, including the families here at Heller Park and all around the church. One of the other things that we're looking at doing is that some people may really feel like that they're just going to stay here and pray.
Yeah, and we want to put an emphasis on that.
Go ahead.
Right? Because Jesus didn't just say go with this message. He actually told them first and foremost, pray to the Lord of Harvest, and not just pray, but pray earnestly, pray with passion, pray with urgency, right? And we want that. We want to see that those that are going to be staying behind, maybe it's because it's too cold and, you know, whatever it is, that, or maybe whatever it might be, that you're praying in this room and you're praying that the Lord reaches out his hand, signs, wonders, and miracles, that the message of the gospel will just pierce the heart of people, that they'll be receptive. And this is what the Lord says he promises to do. He promises to answer our prayer and to pour out his spirit on all flesh, right?
Yeah.
And their hearts will be opened up and they'll see the glory of God. So we want to put emphasis that we're not just going to stay and we're going to wait until everybody comes back fiddling our thumbs. No, we're going to be interceding for salvations and for our Hope Valley to be overturned for the glory of God.
Amen. Amen. And then there's some other things that we want to do, not just pass out these baskets, but we begin to think of what else can we do that just really kind of gets big out of the box kind of thinking. And so some of the ideas that we've had are that we're going to take over a laundromat one day that week. And we're not going to announce it in advance so that people show up going, I'm here expecting to get what I want to come to get. No, they're just going to come and be surprised that here is Spirit Life Church. I think we need to just go ahead and even buy their laundry detergent and their bleach that day, their fabric softener and all of that.
Just take care of it all.
And then pay their costs for however many, you know, quarters that they need for their machines. And we're just going to do that all day long that day just as a blessing from Spirit Life Church. And maybe some of you'd go and hang out and give a before, then, and after story. Then something else we're looking at doing is on that same day, on that Sunday, when we go out to hand the baskets out, is I talked to the management at Cox Cash Saver down the road, and they're open for us to come in and to pass out $25 gift cards that we're going to purchase in advance. And so we're just going to spend like 45 minutes, an hour in the store, and just everybody that's in the store that day, hey, Merry Christmas from Spirit Life Church. Here's a $25 gift card. I want to just give that to you and bless you. God loves you. He knows about what you need. And we want to invite you. Here's a card, an invitation to come to our program next Sunday. So just another cool thing that we can do. And then we also talk about rent.
Yeah. Rent, utilities, people need
maybe
them.
There's somebody that we know that really needs, they need their whole rent paid.
Yeah.
They've been a good renter, but you know maybe they fell on hard times, got sick, injured at the job, whatever it is, and now Christmas is looking really dismal for them, and if we can talk to some apartment managers, and they say, I think this is a great candidate, and we're just going to just love on those people, pay their rent for the whole month.
Yep.
God loves you, Merry Christmas. You like this idea? Okay, so this is going to take a little bit of money, right? So we shared with you last week, if you'll put that up, a goal to raise $10,000. And hey, take a look. We've already got some greenfield in. We haven't even taken up an offering yet. And we've already got $2,000 given and pledged toward this goal of $10,000. So we're well on our way. But guess what? Something else happened this past week. Somebody called me and said, Pastor Tommy, what if And here's the deal. I've got a $10,000 matching gift grant toward this, which means not that they're going to just help us to get to $10,000, but for every dollar you give up to $10,000, they're going to give an extra dollar for it. We could actually, we could hit $20,000. Yeah. I am excited about this. I believe that this could be literally life-changing for some people. So here's what we want you to do. We're closing up the service right here. This is the call to action time. I already gave one for salvation. Here's the call to action for everybody. So when you came in, there were two cards laying on your seat or close by where you're sitting. Grab those real quick. The bigger one is all about how you can volunteer and serve on December the 18th. There are three boxes that you can check. You can put your name and your phone number down so we can follow up with you. But if you want to serve in the area of children, connections, or media, just check that box. And if you want to get more specific and circle a particular area, like under children's, I want to do Santa's Village, then circle that. That's great. If you want to write something in that you want to do, and this is, we're talking about serving on the 18th. So we want you to fill that out. And then there's another, a smaller one, and this is all about the 11th. I want to be a missionary on the 11th. I want to be a part of those that are going out, and I want to be a blessing to some people. We're asking for 70 people. Our goal is 70 people that can go out in teams of two or three and really make an impact and be a blessing here in our community. So I want, what we wanted to do right now, we're getting ready to close the service. We're going to receive our offering. You thought I forgot to receive the offering, didn't you? No, I did not. And so we're going to receive the offering here, your tithes, your other offerings. But if you got a love gift that you want to give toward our Christmas outreach, you can just put Christmas on there. Just put Christmas on there. And then drop that in the offering buckets, and we're going to keep you updated over the next couple of weeks. And I'm excited to see where we're going to go with this thing and just what all we're going to be able to do. Also, I want you to bring these cards. I want you to do it today. I don't want you to think about it. You don't need to think about it. You just need to do it, okay? Go ahead and commit right now. This is what I am going to do. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to, you know, maybe you would say on this little one, no, I'm not going to go out. But Pastor, I commit to staying here and praying that day. I will do that. Maybe you just want to write that on there. That's fine as well. And then I'm just going to invite you to come and put your gifts and these slips of paper in the offering buckets here at the front or at the back as well. Don't forget also, the angel tree is over here. We want to bless these ladies from Living in Victory Ministry who've got children. We want to make sure that those kids have a great Christmas this year. So there's all the instructions Judy gave you earlier about that. Would you stand with me right now? We're going to close with a final word of prayer. And I'm going to ask, as you're coming forward, I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come and join me as well. If you came today and you need some of the blessings that come with the kingdom of God, you need some healing in your body, you need some peace, you need some joy, whatever it might be that you're needing in your life, we're here to pray for you. So, Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that you're giving us to make such a huge difference in our community. Lord, that you sent us on an intentional mission with an intentional message. And, Lord, you're going to give us the might that we need to do it. I ask, Lord, that as we commit ourselves today, that you'll empower us and enable us to do our very best for you. Lord, that the funds that are needed in order to really make an impact and to make a difference. Lord, I just thank you that it's all coming in, that the needs of this church is being met so that we can be a blessing to others. And for all that you do, we give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Spirit Life Church.